extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, David Goss, the old Kalen.
Wow.
Newly in the studios.
Wait, the original Kalen.
The OG.
That's an
important distinction there.
Okay, fine.
Still
old.
This is intense. I feel like I'm staring directly at Doyle here. This is like...
I like that when Wiebe intro'd us, both of you were looking at the screen, seeing yourselves.
Yeah, well, this is like feels like a Succession moment between us here, where it's like...
Honestly, I was looking...
Who's the least...
I was looking at my posture. Rebecca told me I looked fat on the show the other day.
Yeah. Are you slouching?
I'm trying not to, like really hard.
Because that'll solve the problem.
Yeah, she said maybe you and David could switch seats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Listen,
Dave, I think I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at.
I will say this, because the market's open. Everything's available to be talked about.
That's true.
But everything has a price.
All right. We'll take this offline.
Approach my people.
Right. If this was a Succession episode here, who's the least serious person at this table? You think it's a podcast, you have, instead of pointing. I know some people are watching on Apple.
I think that alone was an example of why I am the least serious person.
But a beloved person, we got a tweet that somebody reminded me about.
Well, normally people...
Sitting to my left.
People like the... I'm going to go out there and just say the Roman of the situation. I think people normally are... That's a fan favorite.
Mm.
That's what I'm calling you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
Is it just true?
We are all definitely the children.
There's no Logan Roy in this room.
Anders, maybe. I don't know.
Fair.
He's a suit now.
Yeah.
We're looking into match day 8 on this show after we get done talking about inane things, which we may never get done with on this pod. There is breaking news in Major League Soccer, a big time blockbuster trade between Inter Miami and CF Montreal. Kamal Miller on his way to Miami, leaving his home, and Bryce Duke and Ariel Lassiter going the other way. We'll talk about that. There's also $1.3 million in GAM involved. That's all per one Tommy Scoops, Tom Bogert. And we'll look through the best matches coming up this weekend, including El Tráfico on Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, MLS Season Pass, as well as Big Fox. First, I have to go into another just complete tangent here. MJ hit us up, said, which Extra Time co-host would be the best at A, hanging in a supporters group section at a live game, B, watching a game at a dive bar that won't turn the game audio on, C, enjoying a James Beard Award winning chef's food, and D, coaching a U12 soccer team. So obviously I'm D for the U12s. So I'll let you guys clean up the...
But they said that didn't they say the best at? They didn't say
Wow.
Kalen, that's no shade to the Narwhals. They worked hard. That's
Kalen
worked
wants
hard.
To bring his record back up from Chicago.
No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that.
We were tactically advanced for four-year-olds.
It got so bad for me coaching. I coached U12s in Chicago, and it got so bad for me that Justin Mapp and Chris Rolfe came to a match to watch, to evaluate my performance, and they made a recommendation to Dennis Hamlet, who was... and Frank Lopez, I think they're both in charge of the club at the time, or you know, working.
Wait, there was a youth club in Chicago that...
Oh yeah, yeah. Jim Curtin. Jim Curtin. I worked for him as well too. I'm under his coaching tree technically.
Okay. Wow.
He used to give me some one-off, like, you know, random go coach this team in the burbs. That was a little further up. I couldn't do that. It paid better, but I was
the
more in the
burb.
Yeah, the burbs paid.
This is like a shadow development organization. One,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, but I was so bad. I mean, we'd routinely lose games 6-7-0, and they had to make a recommendation for me to be fired. My own friends, my own teammates, but I had to accept it. I stayed with the team for the rest of the season, finished it out, played out my contract, and then never coached again.
So would you...
You're a lame
say,
duck. You're a lame duck coach there, huh?
Would you say, though, that as a U.S. soccer community, to thank for the Jim Curtins and Jesse Marshes and Chris Armises of the world, those top coaches, they were all sort of like bled and built in the U12 system in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was...
It's like the Rucker Park of coaching soccer.
Last thing I'll say, just to say how bad it was, I did have parents timing how long I was playing their kids.
Well, that's not your fault.
So I had to get out.
As we know, that's a part of our soccer
culture. Did the Narwhals have this culture?
That's football.
No,
football
you
heritage.
Know what? We were very total football. Everybody's playing every position. We're rotating. You know, look, did Cameron Wiebe have some star moments that were celebrated? robustly on the field? Yes, the manager celebrated just as hard for every other moment of quality that we saw. This is the sort of team that,
just happened to be the star?
Look, some kids have a better first, second, third touch in, U4 soccer than others, and usually that means it's
This is the problem, folks. This is the problem.
Anyway, how about this? Who's the best in a supporters section at a live game? Who are you putting there? Dave is the number one.
Yeah, everybody loves Dave. Everybody loves Dave.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you go to World Cups, you got entire nations adopting you.
The other thing is, Kalen really loves being around the fans.
Yeah, Kalen loves it's kind of his environment.
Interacting.
Wish I could call the game from, throw me in the mix.
You want to be like the on-ice reporter calling as the color analyst.
Kyle Martino back in the day. Yeah. But instead of the sideline, we just get a little podium for you right in the middle of the supporter center.
Yeah.
You're dodging flags.
I think it's called a capo stand.
Capo, but that's fine.
No, I remember Rachel Benetta used to do that, and then I started at MLS, and I was like, I can't do that.
People touch me.
I just didn't know what to do.
So this is the controversial one, because you've got watching a game at a dive bar, no audio on, and James Beard award winning chef food. And I think that's a tough decision in my mind between these two.
Yeah,
I think Kalen's got more experience at the dive bar sans audio based on the partners in soccer.
But does he also have more experience at the James Beard award winning spaces?
No, I just pretend that, honestly.
that's just for the gram.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like the Galaxy brand. It's more of a facade than anything else.
No, I'm not. Once you really dig deep, I'm like.
Anders is in our ear saying that's Charlie. We should congratulate Charlie, Suze, Alexis.
Absolutely.
Morning footy.
Our good friend Chris Karen, who's producing it as well. Definitely. They're doing a great job.
Paramount Plus, and I've been watching it on my phone through their website as well. I'm glad I don't have to wake up that early, and I'm glad they replay it.
Yeah.
But at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., morning footy.
I saw Chuck D in New England over the weekend. Oh. Had a beer afterwards.
Did he send his kind regards? Because he texted me he forgot about me.
He sent me the same message. I'm like, sorry, the first class flight to London, now you're in Mexico, and I forgot about you?
Jeez.
What up, Chuck?
You and Jamie character and Big Meeks.
Jerry character.
I just mispronounced it.
That's okay. That's all right. That was a really good weepy moment.
Okay. Should we let this one go?
This is not a serious person.
I was hoping you wouldn't out me when I asked that question. I tried to ask the question so you'd look at each other, maybe straight across the line, Doyle and Kalen, while I just faded into the background. But yeah, I got found out. Okay, here's the breaking news in MLS. The trade. Tom Bogert reporting, as it seems like he always does. Inter Miami receiving, and I guess this is not official, it's Tom official. Inter Miami get Kamal Miller, Canadian international center back, obviously played at the World Cup, has been very good for Montreal for the last few years here. And Inter Miami are going to receive $1.3 million in GAM from Montreal. Montreal will get Bryce Duke, 22-year-old American central midfielder, who I just got to put it out there.
I do believe this is official, by the way.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris Henderson, quote, Kamal's a standout defender entering his prime. So I hope not.
That seems official.
Casually talking about another
one. I just want to throw out there Bryce Duke and Ari Lassiter are the other ones here, the Costa Rican international that we've seen in Houston and otherwise around MLS in the region. Those go to Montreal.
We all thought it was wrong.
Yes.
We all, I was talking to Tom about this morning. And he sent me the information maybe 10 minutes before he broke it, saying I have this, the money is going from Montreal to Miami. And I said, are you sure? Because looking at this trade and knowing the history of teams really, really regretting good domestic center back,
but specifically with Kamal Miller,
Austin FC.
It's not even you have to go back
down the road.
It's a very
Orlando's not that far away.
Well, Austin as well.
Yeah,
it would have made more sense to me as a trade if it was Kamal Miller for Bryce Duke, Ari Lassiter, and $1.3 million. And to be fair, Kamal Miller has really struggled this month. He was not great at the World Cup. I don't care. We saw him be excellent for an entire season with Montreal last year. We saw him be excellent for an entire qualifying cycle with Canada. He's a good player.
the lesson that we have seen teams repeatedly have to learn is you do not trade a domestic center back in their prime. And Montreal did that and gave Miami $1.3 million worth of GAM for their trouble. It's an insane trade. If I get this wrong, Montreal fans,
yeah,
come make me eat my words. It's fine. But like this on the face of it is, look, I've had executives in my texts for the past half hour saying, this is the worst trade I've ever seen in MLS. This is the worst trade I've ever seen in MLS.
So let me just, can I just add in here? So Kamal Miller and $1.3 million.
Kamal, we believe, is out of contract.
No, he's not. It's an option for 24. Yeah. It's a team option for 2024.
Well, that at least gives us a little bit of cover to say, okay, well, we...
No, that doesn't give us anything. So here's the thing. Georgi Mihailovic, whatever years ago now, not that many, at the same age was traded for $1 million in allocation from Chicago to Montreal. That's sort of what we're all assuming the Bryce Duke trade is supposed to be. Plus Ariel Lassiter. I think if you wanted to be safe with Kamal Miller and say, like, he's out of contract in a year and a half, he struggled for a month, and not push him to the highest number you'd get, Bill Tuiloma was traded for between 700 and 800.
It would still be, it'd be like a million.
Well, let's say 700. Let's say 700. Okay. That means it's a $2 million allocation package for Bryce Duke and Ariel Lassiter. No offense to Ariel Lassiter. I'm sort of taking him to the side on this. That means that Montreal's paying double for Bryce Duke than what they did for Georgi Mihailovic, who right now has lower counting stats coming into this moment than Georgi did at the time. Like 4 years later or 3 years later. Nothing about this makes sense.
Bryce Duke also, I believe, was acquired by Inter Miami for $100,000 in GAM.
Yeah,
a year ago.
Yeah,
that's a glow up. But you buy him for 100, you flip him. I mean,
and wait, they have sell on percentage. So if Bryce Duke kills it at Montreal because he's playing a ton of minutes, and Messi's playing in Miami, he's not going to get a chance, and they sell him, Inter Miami will get more money out of that as well.
And this is, I mean, people, they were joking on the internet of like, you know, everybody has to contribute to get Messi here. Maybe Montreal took that seriously. Yeah. And they were like, look, we know you're under it a little bit from the GAM perspective. You got those sanctions.
Tom's actually reporting that. Tom's saying like this, I can't believe this. He's saying like the GAM received by Inter Miami will be crucial in their summer moves as they continue to hope for both Messi and Sergio Busquets.
This is the part I can't believe.
Busquets likely won't be a DP. We've heard that from Miami before.
That's fair. But now you got all this GAM. They just buying stuff down.
That you can only go to a certain
Miami.
I don't know. It's a Montreal. Maybe Montreal are looking around. It's like a Scrooge.
Well, they
McDuck
might
situation.
Be able to sign. They might be able to get Campagna down.
Yeah.
And then put Busquets in.
Campagna can be. He can be brought down.
But then don't they still need Busquets to be?
They still have Pizarro
so that they can use the U20. Well, yeah, but you can have three DPs. They have an empty spot. So Messi, and then you buy one down. You put Busquets in. Those are your three. It would be Pizarro, Busquets, and Messi. The only problem is you need one to be low enough that you can use your U22s.
U22s, yeah.
And I don't know that they really have. They only have one. So whatever. It doesn't matter. This trade is offensive. I'm offended. I'm just like straight up offended.
I don't understand it either. Kamal Miller's 25 years old. That's the other part. It's like that is a very young age for a proven starter. And now, the only way I'd say the other side is it doesn't sound like Montreal's trying to change their system right now. And they're trying to play a little bit more direct. So the ball playing center back is a little bit less valuable than it was last year. And the way we saw this team play in the past. And then you look at Ari Lassiter and you say, okay, maybe he has that more direct verticality that maybe Losada would want to play over time. And then they just honestly don't have a piece in that 10 position with Georgi Mihailovic gone. Sean Reyes played there some from the academy. Schwanier, they've tried a couple pieces, but I would say Bryce Duke is an upgrade there. So I understand it from some of those perspectives.
It's the 1.3 that throws you, right?
Yeah, if you said in abstract, or even abstract, if you said Kamal Miller was traded for Bryce Duke and Ariel Lassiter, I don't think I'd agree with the trade, but I think you could make a world in which you understand it. And I do think this is a really good day for Nathan Saliba and Sean Rea because they don't have to play 10 anymore, which they're not. and they can play the position they play.
And Bryce Duke has been playing as like a deep-lying kind of like since Gregory went out.
Which he's not.
Yeah, which he's not. So he's had to go back and just didn't quite fit with Rodolfo Pizarro playing a more advanced role where he would normally slide in. So I don't know. I've always liked Bryce Duke as a player. I thought he was very valuable for Inter Miami. So I understand. But I think if you can get Kamal Miller in this place, in one plus
you shoot a text, to Messi and his people. You're like, all right, look, we just moved Bryce Duke on. We got 1.3 million in GAM. Kamal Miller's coming. Does that push you over the line? Are you ready to sign?
I've heard Sergio Busquets be quoted saying, if you like Pique, you have to like Kamal Miller.
Because they're similar.
I mean, I don't know. They have all this GAM from selling all these players. Maybe Olivier Renard's like looking around. You made the Scrooge McDuck reference. He's just like, yeah, I'm swimming in it, man. Like, what's a little bit of coin?
So then why are you giving up Kamal Miller?
Well, I guess you got George Campbell.
For sure. Then flip Kamal Miller for something else. Why don't you flip him for a legitimate, already established 10?
Maybe the market wasn't good.
The market's clearly not good because they gave up $2 million for Price.
Hey, 1.3 to move him on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Give us a scouting report.
Do you really? I mean, none of us think that if Kamal Miller was available, that like.
Well, I was thinking about
80% of MLS teams. Well, what are the LA Galaxy doing?
Aren't
right
the
now?
Crew talking about?
They're signing one.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a 25-year-old domestic center back with a history of performing at a very high level in MLS is not like some pass. No, thank you. Yeah. There's got to be. It feels like
it was
pretty. Else
it was
here.
Peter Vermes asleep at the wheel on this one.
They just signed Rosero, so maybe they didn't have maybe they don't have the assets. Although Montreal's giving up the assets. I don't know. Give us the Bryce
Duke.
We
pay you.
We're giving you the money. No. Seriously. We are giving it to you.
I mean.
Austin? Yeah? Austin?
Also like. Yeah. Oof.
I don't know.
Bryce Duke's a nice player. I don't think he's Georgie. He has that playmaker thing where he works in like those half beats in time where he sees a pass a split second before anybody else does. And so, you know, he's always getting the ball to the rest of the attackers with a little more time and space. And I haven't seen that from Bryce Duke. Like, I think he's a good player. He's got, you know, pretty good feet.
I do like, as Kalen was sort of talking about shifting for him, as a 10, a pressing team that's direct, it's ideal for him because there's not a ton. He doesn't need to do those things, though, right? It's going to be about winning the ball.
I don't know, man. If you're a pressing 10, you still need to do the 10 part. You still need to be able to complete a telling pass. And, like, he can do it if it's lined up for him, but I don't know. This is a head scratcher. You're going to Montreal this weekend.
I am. Yeah. I'm going to Montreal.
An investigative.
Yeah. I gotta rally the troops.
We're sending the extra time auditor down just to check these numbers.
Talk to the boys.
Just the bean counter. Yeah.
Just to make sure everything's okay.
I said on Monday I still felt confident about them as a playoff team and, you know, getting close back to what they were last year.
Confirm, not a serious person.
Yeah, exactly. I just think they need to know that I'm invested, right? I'm not just the rich
You still
guy.
Have your bottle up there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not just over in Monaco hanging out being like,
Do people know that story? Have we talked about that on the show?
I think so. I brought it up a couple of times,
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's not going to make it through the weekend.
No, not at all. That's why I got to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to get rid of it.
That's the beauty of
it. Not... You think somebody was already there. That's what led to the trade.
But I can guarantee you this. I'm not going back for a playoff game probably this year. So I need to get that thing out.
Well.
While the market's still open.
I'm happy for Miami fans. They haven't had a win in a while. I think this is a win for them, pretty clearly.
What about Busquets and Messi? I know you're a Busquets guy from way back in the day.
I'm a Busquets. Busquets is a weird fit in MLS at this point in his career, but because if you surround him with a midfield that can hold on to the ball at all times, he is literally the best defensive midfielder that the game has ever seen. But if you surround him with a midfield that is less ball secure and is thus going to have to engage in more transitions, do more chasing, then his physical limitations become very obvious. And I think we've seen teams sort of weaponize that against Barcelona, especially in the Champions League over the last 5-6 years, right? Coming to MLS, he's not going to be surrounded by midfielders of the type who are always going to be clean. Like, there's going to be more chasing for him. It's not a like the league is getting better in a lot of ways, but it's not a super tactical league. Maybe they can get there. Like, maybe Miami can sort of lead the way in that regard. We are seeing more positional play. Like, the Sounders are doing, like, really legit positional play. I had the same questions about Victor Wanyama when he came to Montreal, whether he could do enough chasing. And it took a couple years, and best coach in the league.
Didn't it take a system that minimized his need to chase?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, maybe it can happen for Busquets. I don't know. It's not.
Didn't go great for Pirlo.
Didn't go great for Pirlo. Yeah.
Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Although it would have helped if they played with Messi, too. So that part will help.
You got to do more running.
For sure, but it'll help. I'm still stuck on other teams that should be this straight.
Yeah, Sporting Kansas City.
So here's my Ben Bender.
Ben Bender was really good.
Great.
Yeah.
But for Kamal Miller at $1.3 million for a team that needed a center back anyway? And gave up $800,000 for Anton.
But it's not like, Montreal put out an APV.
They did, though.
Miami cut all the phone lines. They're just like, sounds like we're the only one interested.
You think Montreal approached Miami and said, we're
not saying
to move
that.
Kamal
I'm just
Miller?
Saying, I don't know if any. They may have heard that he was available, but I don't know if they knew. Like, it's easy to look back and say, okay, this trade worked out for this one team. Why didn't every other team do that?
Yes.
But I don't know if that's how trades work.
Boy, I would hope.
But you would hope you hope those front offices, especially for a team that was looking for a center back, is having conversation with every team where they think someone's available. I mean, we know.
We should assume they did.
Yeah, and we know there are some clubs that are asking every 3 weeks about every player on every roster. And being like, this is how much they value them at.
I just feel like once you even have like even a early framework of a deal, I would be like, all right, well, I'm going to go to the next five people I think could offer me more who have assets I want more. And I'm going to say, I have a framework of a deal here. What do you want to come in here? Do you want to cut the line? Like, it's cool if you want to.
And if any of this is based on the fact that Kamal Miller has struggled in the first five games of the season or whatever it's been, I'm even more offended.
Well, you know where to get us.
Congratulations on saying the highest number.
If you have thoughts, add extra time, add Andrew_Weeby. I just route them straight into the rundown here in Google Docs, and we go from there. Let's hit this other news here that it's important we hit. Dante Van Zier, of course, was a big part of our show and every show that we did after Match Day 7. For good reason. At that time, because the investigation was sort of ongoing, we hadn't said his name. You might have listened to an interview with Dante on Extra Time a few weeks ago. There were some statements that came out after our Monday show taped. I'm going to read them. New York Red Bulls put out the first one that I saw. Quote, the New York Red Bulls wholeheartedly apologize for the unacceptable events that transpired on Saturday night during the match with the Earthquakes. The words and inaction was inexcusable, and we believe there is never a place for it. We strive for an environment that is inclusive and anti-racist. Our organization is committed to providing the resources to further educate our players and staff, as well as rebuilding trust within our community. That is, that is sort of the beginning of the story. The real meat here is a statement from Dante Van Zier, which is, I want to sincerely apologize to the players of the Earthquakes. I will do everything I can to be part of the change that needs to happen in this sport and our world. I also want to apologize to my teammates, coaches, the organization, and our fans. I made a mistake and will take all the necessary steps to grow. I accept full responsibility for my actions. While I did not intend to cause any harm or offense with my language, I know that I did, and for that I am deeply sorry. I will agree to any suspension, fine, counseling that is handed down by Major League Soccer and the club. I will use this opportunity to better myself, reflect, and dedicate my time and efforts to work with organizations that tackle racial injustice. And then there was another statement that came from the Red Bulls. Again, quote, Dante Van Zier addressed his teammates this morning. That was Tuesday morning, I believe. And to avoid further distractions, we'll step away from the club until further notice. So Dante Van Zier, admitting that he used a racial slur. Is that correct in saying that? Yeah, I think that's That's what he's saying here, obviously, and has stepped away. I will say, while that is, it's nice to have at least that sort of clarity so early in what could have been a long process of investigation, I am still of the belief, my personal opinion, that there should be punitive punishment for Dante Venzier, that he should see a lengthy suspension, that there should be a true deterrent and, you know, punishment fits the crime, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, this is unacceptable in such a deep, deep way that I think that the decision that comes out of this, that we're still awaiting, obviously, should reflect that. I also am, what are the right words? Frustrated with, disappointed in, saddened by sort of the behavior of Gerhard Struber in this whole situation as well. He put out a statement. This is it. Quote, during our match on Saturday, I made a decision that I thought was best given the information I had at that moment. While there was a lot of uncertainty at the time, with the information that I now know, the right decision would have been to immediately remove Dante Venzier from the game.
I missed the apology in that one.
I mean, the information at the time is that there's an alleged racial slur. I mean, I don't know what.
Where's the apology?
Yeah,
there was a lot of time to gather information, and he was the closest to it.
There's a clip that from the game, if you're watching on the broadcast, of, and I can't make any assumptions. I don't know what's being said. I can only sort of guess at what's going on with Carlos Coronel, the goalkeeper, gesturing with him, talking. He's talking to Venzier, his Struber, and a lot of sort of hand motions and things that seem in the moment. And again, I wasn't there. Don't know exactly what this is. Seem a little dismissive. That's frustrating. That's frustrating. And I'm of the opinion that if this happens, and you look at what Wayne Rooney did last year, for instance, with Taxi Fontas, if this happens and there is an allegation of this, get the player off the field. Like, I don't care. Is it a gentleman's agreement? Is it an unwritten rule? Is it something that, like, in preseason, we all get together as coaches and look at each other and say, let's do this? Like, I don't know. The right thing to do is clearly to take that player off the field.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
I'm with that. I feel like it's honestly a health and safety issue, I think. I mean, mental health for sure, that should be accounted in this when people are hurling racial slurs at people. But then I think also just as far as like the safety of the game, to leave players on the field with that type of dynamic, I mean, that to me is, that's dangerous. And the thing that just kind of caught me off, I mean, I was calling a different match. I logged on later and then saw kind of what had been happening, logged in. I saw Sasha and Bradley's comments that I thought were spot on 360, talking about, you know, two ex-Red Bull players talking about exactly how they would feel having a teammate like this and how frustrated they were. And I think from the manager's decisions as well. And so the other thing was, you know, I saw Christina on. I just couldn't help but remark, you know, I mean, I saw her on 360. She was on the wrap up. She was on Instant Replay with you. I logged on yesterday. She was on CBS talking about racism with Lukaku in Italy. And I'm just like, geez, like, it just shows you how wide this problem is as far as.
And we put a lot of it on the refs.
Yeah, and it's too much on the referees for sure. And I think that's really the crux of it to me, is like, it was helpful to understand, and she did a really good job of breaking down exactly, you know, how this goes and
the procedure.
The procedure of, yeah, gathering information, if you hear it, if you don't, if all that stuff was useful information. But it's still too much on the referees. And we, in my opinion, see, there's the referee qualifier. Yep. I've learned I've been on Instant Replay before. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's too much. We can't treat racism like it's a video review where you have to have, like, does it meet the threshold of clear and obvious? Was there audio? Was there video? Can we go back and look at the tape? Can we figure out exactly what happened here? Like, that to me is letting ourselves down. And I understand I don't have the answer. I'm not going to say I have the answer of, you know, this is what the way it should be done, or, you know, how it's, where the process is messed up. But, you know, I couldn't help but think back also to last year with the Inter Miami and DC situation, where it was found credible that Mabika, his statements of saying he was racially abused by Taxi Fontas, both coaches came out, said it. In that case, Wayne Rooney subbed off Funtas, whereas now we see if you leave it up to the managers.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, the year before that, it was Fragapane and Diego Chara, and Adrian Heath left Franco Fragapane on the field.
Yeah, the problem, as you said, of the gentleman's agreement is everyone needs
right. And,
to
and
be
if
a
you
gentleman.
Go back to that DC Miami one, like you had two guys that have known each other for a long time who are friends, but if you don't have that, you might like you're it's circumstantial, basically, the decision being made. And I agree. I don't want it to be circumstantial.
Yeah, the leaving the players on, I don't know how the process goes, but the idea that you have a dynamic where one player has said something like that to another player and stays on the pitch, and then the game continues on, is not a recipe for health and safety protocols for the players, the referee, anyone, supporters watching, audience. Like, it's just not a good setup. So I don't have the answers, as I said, but I feel like they're the process needs to go a little bit deeper, because it's not just a referee decision, right? This is a moral issue. This is a human issue. There's a lot of different things, in fact, and it's complex. It's also a legal one. I understand that that's a component here.
Yeah.
As far as how you can make these, what decisions do you have the power to make? What don't you have the power to make? But I saw Christina on like six different shows and multiple different countries, and it's just it's disheartening still.
Yeah, it certainly is. But we'll see what comes. We'll see what comes. These statements provide a lot of clarity, I think, but not the full amount. And I await more to come on this. I think there needs to be more. To go to like the health and safety side, I was just thinking just integrity and like respect within the game.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The health and safety from a very practical, real standpoint, but just like what kind of game are we trying to have here?
Right.
You know what I mean? I think this is certainly something that MLS has to deal with, but it's everywhere. It's not just MLS. It's Serie A. It's really, I mean, you probably could just say every single league, nook and cranny place around the world. And that's just the professional soccer aspect and not the society aspect. So, yeah, it's frustrating. It's infuriating. It's
depressing.
It's a sad state that we're back here talking about again. But we'll update if there's more news coming. That's where it is right now. Okay, let's talk about match day. Let's talk about soccer. El Tráfico is here, the first of the year, because of course we had that rainstorm in LA that canceled match day one, which gives us an even more delicious setup. Match day one, it was like blank slates. Who wants that?
Galaxy, we're talking about competing for the Supporters Shield.
Yeah, exactly. No, we don't want that. We want it messy.
Western Conference Finals preview. Match day one.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little messy here. Sunday, the lone game on Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, Dignity Health Sports Park. LAFC have never won away in El Tráfico. Seems like a prime opportunity. We will get to the Galaxy. There's a lot to talk about there between a letter from Chris Klein to the fans and the ongoing boycott, and also just the state of the soccer that they are playing. But let's start on a positive note. That is LAFC dismantling the Caps in CCL. I believe 6-0 is the aggregate. A couple goals from Carlos Vela last night. Jose Cifuentes comes off the bench and scores an absolute banger.
It's the second largest aggregate win for an MLS team over an MLS team in any competition.
Do you know what the largest was?
Do you know?
I do.
Okay.
Because you saw the same thing I saw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
So any competition. So any not competition. Just CCL.
So we could go but back
two
to
legs.
What?
Two legs. Could be Canadian Championship.
Could
be
playoffs. Yeah.
Could be the Old Leagues Cup. Way back in the day.
Superliga.
Interliga. Yeah.
Let's see.
MLS is back.
What was the aggregate? Do you know the aggregate?
7-0.
Oh, no.
7-0. I have no idea. We can't waste. I love trivia on this show, but I feel like I'm going to waste so much time.
2016, right?
Yeah.
2016 playoffs.
TFC over NYCFC.
Yeah.
It was when Josie was just like, no. Yeah. You guys aren't stopping me literally anytime I touch the ball.
That was the day there was a Red Bull game, a playoff game in New York. And then I went to that one against Montreal. And then I caught the train.
Was that when Sasha missed the penalty?
Montreal went on. I remember interviewing Patrice after the game.
That was Sasha missed it.
Scored. Yeah. I think he missed it in Montreal first leg, but that was that.
The idea was I was going to get to Yankee Stadium to watch the next game and be all hyped up. And I was just on my phone the way over. I was like, oh, this is over. It's like 4-0 by the time I got there.
Love that transit story.
Have a beer. Yeah.
I know you'd appreciate
this. Is before you had a car.
Go to
Stanford. Let's move on.
What? I have fees going up. Anyway, a dominant performance from LAFC in the Champions League. A quote that stood out to me from Josh Wolf after last match day was, in reference to LAFC, quote, "We're talking about the deepest team I've ever seen in MLS. They're the best team in the league, as I've said last year, until this point this year. Is this team better than last year's team?"
David says no.
Well, I don't know that it's obvious. One of the things with last year's team is there was two teams, right? Last year had one team. They sold Brian Rodriguez. They got rid of other pieces. Then they brought in Bale and Chiellini and Bouanga. So, like, what point are we talking about?
Get Christian Teo here. Come on, man.
Yeah, obviously, DP he's Christian got a ring. Teo. Which part of the year are we talking about?
Yeah, he's got a ring. I don't know. The championship.
What's Josh the pointy Wolf
end of the pointy end of the stick, the championship end.
I don't know that it's that.
Ooh, I had my own cough button.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
I don't know that it's...
I got a great take for you.
I don't know that it's that obvious to me. You had Latif, who was like a full-time player. You had, obviously...
Latif or Tillman, who would you take?
Latif.
Interesting.
He's only done it at a high level for 4 years in this league. Tillman's done it for, what, 6 games?
Okay.
You had a legitimate center forward, which just gives you more depth. I'm not saying they need a center forward because this team. I'm just saying that's quality that existed on that roster. You had more depth at the fullback positions, I think. So, and it's tough because Maxime, well, you had Franco Escobar, who has started like a bunch of MLS.
Did you take him or Sergi Palencia?
I'd probably take Franco Escobar.
I'd take Palencia.
Okay. Based off the 37 seconds you watched him play.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's been a good 37
Euro
seconds.
Snob.
It's been a good 37.
Yeah. And Maxime Crépeau, obviously not.
Yeah,
with
fair.
The team right now, he is, but he's injured and we don't know when he comes back.
But you have Bouanga at a different level than Bouanga last year, at least in terms of in front of net.
Okay.
You have that's more depth in midfield because Cifuentes was coming off the bench.
But he was better last year, too, as a player. Like, he was playing. Oh, you had Seba Mendes on that team, who started in 2 World Cup games and then now plays for one of the biggest teams in Brazil. Or Timothy Tillman. Sorry. Tell me about Timothy Tillman again.
Wow.
I don't think it's cut and dry.
Okay.
And I think it's fair for Sounders fans right now to say that they're not even the deepest team in MLS right now.
Wow. Was Andres just feeding you that?
Yeah.
All right.
He promised me more camera time okay. if I said stuff like that.
This is why he's putting you in the middle, not in the fat chair.
Yeah,
I get it.
Exactly. Dude, I've been working out. That's okay, why.
Fair enough.
But you got to engage the core. That's the key. Like, get that flat back. Don't lean back. Get a nice engaged core.
It's discipline. It's discipline.
Yeah. Pretend like you have 2 books on your head.
Anders told me I'm a serious person now because I said that.
Are LAFC the best team in North America, Doyle?
I will find out in a couple of weeks. Anders is yelling in my ears right now. Anders is determined for the Sounders case to be made
about
still being the
Champions League champion.
I would just like to watch him watching LAFC Champions League games, just like shivering.
Oh, he's fully rooting against that team, 100%. Look, they're really good. I think I saw Felipe Cardenas from a good friend from The Athletic. He was saying,
Morning Footy.
And Box to Box, I believe, our good friend Chris Karen is producing in the afternoon.
So he was saying that he thinks that
send a check to Bergen County.
That LAFC are favorites in the Champions League. He feels like they're playing at a better level than either Tigres or León or obviously Philly and Atlas.
Just to point out, as of recording this, León's the only one that's actually through because Tigres is tied 1-1.
That's true. Like,
and so that's not a hard take. Because it's between them and León right now.
Okay.
So yeah. Just
throwing it up. They're really good. And they're rolling. They won 3-0 last weekend. They won 3-0 midweek. They have the depth to handle multiple competitions. Cherundolo has done a fantastic job of rotating basically everyone on the roster, other than maybe the goalkeeper, has been rotated. Though I think actually the new guy they signed this winter, he got an appearance, I think.
Yeah, Eldon.
I don't care what his name is. It's fine. Yeah, if he wins the starting job, I'll learn his last name. but like they've rotated everyone, and you have to give credit for that to Carlos Vela as well because he's the captain. It's still his team. He's the star.
You know, as great as Bouanga is, and Bouanga's the MVP at this point, it's still Carlos Vela's team. And I think the way he has handled being rotated and not being a 90-minute player, I think has set the tone. So it, there is, like, yeah, I would be more confident in LAFC if they had a true number nine. I'm that type of person. I'm always going to look for that type of guy. But they're playing really good soccer. They're beating teams. They're burying teams. They should bury. They're into the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League, and they're rolling up against a Galaxy team that looks like they're going to get clapped this weekend. Like, this looks like it could get ugly.
I just love the – I just clapped. Just oh, boy. It could definitely go down that way. What would you be thinking, Kalen, if you're in that LAFC locker room coming into this game against your on paper rivals? But I think we can all just recognize the state of affairs here, which is that there is a there's a big dog and there's a little dog right now.
If I'm on the LAFC side?
Correct. But you could also give me the Galaxy POV afterwards.
I mean, yeah, the LAFC is just cruising right now. And we've seen oftentimes – I've often seen teams that – win a championship, have a little bit of a hangover the following season, and that they struggle to.
It's kind Philly of, who's got the hangover.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It happens to, I think, teams when you play late in the season, what you have to put into it to get to that point. And then also with Champions League adding on to that, I think that's more where Philly's really getting hit. I think they'd probably be in a better spot without that. That's where I've seen teams really kind of struggle. And LAFC, honestly, We were all texting. We were saying, you see the lineup they put out for leg two against Vancouver, and you're like, are they just rolling out everybody?
Finish him. Yes.
Sweep the leg, man. Yeah. No mercy.
And by halftime, it was a wrap, right? I mean, not even halftime. I felt like Stu and John were just like...
Podcast.
They were just hanging out, having a good time. But at the positive for me also was that Bouanga, of course, already, you already know, but Vela got his two. And you start seeing him get a little bit more more confidence. I felt like even the way he took that one where he takes it off his chest, but he takes it away from the goalkeeper. He takes it like pretty much parallel to the goal. And just those little touches that run the ball in for Melia was fantastic as well, too. But they're almost just using CCL as just like a little bit to boost the team and boost some confidence in, across the group and to give guys a little bit more time. Sifu as well. Amazing goal. I was like, oh. That's a pretty nice depth piece to bring off the bench, like just smack one off the post and in. So I think, you know, they're buzzing right now because they have not actually had to expend that much to actually add. They've gotten more based on what they've put in. So yeah, going against the Galaxy, but I don't know, these games, El Trafico, always wild. You never
always,
know.
Always wild. By the way, Tuesday to Sunday, that's a good break for LAFC. So you can afford to play your quote-unquote first team.
They and get an extra day on the front end.
Still roll it right back. The fact that they did it Saturday to Tuesday was impressive as well. But some news on the LAFC side. Tom Bogert, you know him as Tommy Scoops, says that Mahalo Opoku has interest in clubs from the Netherlands, Belgium, Bordeaux. Still early in that process ahead of the summer transfer window. But Opoku's 22, and I think he might still be a supplemental roster spot, which would just be an incredible piece of business for LAFC if they do indeed decide to sell. And they have an open DP spot open, folks.
Where you want to use that?
Seems like center forward would be pretty good.
It's like wherever you feel like it, I guess.
Meanwhile, the Galaxy decidedly do not have that. They are one of two teams in Major League Soccer without a win. Sporting Kansas City are the others. The other big thanks to Alex Ruiz at the Striker. I had a good piece out this week kind of helping me understand the situation and the back and forth between the fans and what's going on at the club. So the front office met with the supporters last week, those supporters from the Angel City Brigade, LA Riot Squad, Galaxy Outlaws, Galaxians, and Galaxy Ghost Ultras have been boycotting and are saying that they will not occupy their normal spaces this week in the stadium because the game is at Dignity Health. There was a meeting this week and Chris Klein, the president, was there, as was Will Koontz, who's a new hire for them. Koontz sort of laid out his vision for the club, moving away from big name players to the tail end of the careers and transitioning toward younger players and then maximizing the academy, et cetera. Obviously Koontz was in the LAFC front office. So you have to trust that he understands how this works and how to sort of build something. He won't have a blank slate. But there has been consternation, let's just say, from the supporters with Chris Klein. Chris Klein sent an email to season ticket members this week, and I'm going to read that email because I think it's probably the best way to do it. You can go on MLS Reddit or hit Twitter or whatever, and you can find it pretty easily. Quote, I love the LA Galaxy. The most important part of the club is the people who are involved every day who share the same passion that I do. Our staff, our players, and everyone at AAG work tirelessly to give you a club that you can feel a part of and be proud of. I uphold the values established by those who came before me, those who are here now, and those who will carry the club into the future. This includes accountability for the results on the field. When we hired Greg Vanney at the end of the 2020 season, he had a plan to build out the soccer operations for our club, and he laid out a five-year plan to build the LA Galaxy into a club that competes for championships, year in and year out. This plan included making the playoffs in 2022, so there's a check mark there, and advancing to the playoffs in 2023. Big TBD on that one. I believe in what we are building and the people who are building it. However, if we fall short of our goals this year, I will step aside as the president of the club that I so dearly love. This was my commitment to Dan Beckerman and AEG when I agreed to my extension, and I stand behind that promise. Chris Klein. So right now, it would probably take, and thanks to Phil West, another striker dude, for helping me out with some math here on Twitter. I went back and double-checked. They would need to play the Galaxy at probably a 1.43 points per game clip over the next 28 matches to get around 43 points, which is where the line for ninth was last season. They were 1.47 points per game last year, and their sort of big push was a 3-win, 5-draw, 1-loss nine-game run at the end of the season when Ricky Puig was doing Ricky Puig things and Chicharito was just insatiable in front of goal. This is an interesting letter and timing to send out. A letter like this. I know there's a lot of issues within the club, but I just can't help but, I don't know, it feels, the Galaxy feel, it's not just this letter, it's like the total, it's like the totality of all this. They just feel small. Like, they don't feel big time like they used to feel to me.
Kalen, as a Galaxy TID supporter, how do you feel right now? Does it hurt you to see the brand suffering?
No, but... It
as Houston rises up the Western Conference.
I mean, coming off of a 3-0 loss to Houston, there is some. No, sorry, I'm not gonna indulge in
poetic justice.
But no, I would say it is true though that because I heard Monday's show and Kaylin from the Kaylin community, but Kaylin Kyle, she was talking about how anywhere you go in the world, the Galaxy are the team that is brought up as Major League Soccer and the big club and all that. And there, I did strike me that there is, to your point, Weeby, there is something where the further away you are, the bigger they look. And then kind of like the closer you get to it.
Yeah, the smaller.
It's actually more like, doesn't quite live up to it. It's kind of the closer you walk to it, the more you see, well, it's actually this other team up the road. And when it goes to this like five-year plan, like LAFC just finished their fifth year. Like, to Doyle's point earlier, how long does it take to get back to where...
Cincinnati did it in one offseason. Cincinnati was the worst team in the history of the sport for 3 years running. They had one offseason.
The sport?
The history of the sport?
Come on,
the entire sport?
I saw the 1999 Metro Stars.
There is no sport outside MLS.
Yeah, but what did you make of Punta Neras in 02? Because they say in Costa Rica, it's one of the worst teams they've seen.
So...
I think South Korea lost to Uruguay like 13-0 in the 1950s.
Yeah. So you don't need 5 years to turn it around in MLS, especially if you are in a talent-rich area that produces more quality players than any place.
Remember when they started signing players and they were the first to do so?
Man, it's like they have not made any use of that. But the point to me that is insane in this is... When we hired Greg Vanney at the end of the 2020 season, he had a plan to build out the soccer operations for our club. What were you doing before that? Chris Klein was hired in 2013. Why did the soccer operations of the club need to be built out at that point? You've been in the job for 7 years and you haven't built out your soccer operations? At a soccer club? What were you doing?
By the way, I mean, the thing that if I think if you're the Galaxy fans are sort of looking at and pointing at, in addition to the heritage they have, it's also the funds that they've spent.
I got you.
It's insane. Gonna be okay.
I can feel him vibrating.
Yeah, give those funds. I mean, give those funds.
Well, build a club.
Yeah.
Build a process. And that's what we've talked about over and over again. And this is going to be, you know, a pretty bad comparison. But I think the cult of personality of Bruce Arena, similar to Sir Alex Ferguson and Manchester United, of like, that's the biggest club in the world. This is the biggest club in this league. But a lot of it was built on him. Yep. And when he left, there was no process to take it to the next step. But to Doyle's point, he left in what, 2016? Yep. So what were you doing for 4 years after that? That doesn't help you.
Well, they tried different things. They did have a plan. They tried. They said, we're going to go with the youth development model, where we're going to be more like an FC Dallas. And then they were like, whoa, definitely this is not working for us. We can't. We are the Galaxy.
No, they were completely thoughtless with the way they did it. They threw seven kids out on the field and they got smacked 4-0. And they're like, oh, so you can't develop players. It's like, no, you don't throw them all out at once.
Under Cardinoffel with Jermaine Jones playing center back for the first time in his life.
Right, but that wasn't maybe the best plan for them anyways.
But even if it, well, so one, all of this, everything has to be done in balance. So, yeah, if you're going to play young players, ID the right veteran players to put them around. But also, were they invested properly in youth coaching, in facilities for those young players? Like, whatever they've done over the last 10 years, they've done it not to the full extent that they can, and they haven't done it properly. We talked, I think, about Roman Alessandrini on the last show. Like, that felt like a turning point. Sign prime players, whatever. But you, it doesn't matter your decision if you don't scout good players. You can have a million ideas.
They didn't have a full-time scout until Greg Vanney came on board. They didn't have a full-time scout until 2021.
And they still don't have a data analytics department.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's not good. It also, it doesn't, I mean, I don't know how deep he was going to go into their plan, but the plan doesn't look very ambitious to me.
No.
Like, for a club of this stature. And
they finish eighth place and they win the play-in game.
Yeah, job done.
He's back.
But, I actually have a lot of respect for the Galaxy, as much as we kind of joke around about, you know, the pain. But I've seen firsthand how good they were, right? That's like, as have anybody who's ever played in Major League Soccer up until a certain point in time. But the plan doesn't seem that ambitious to me to say, okay, well, we need to make the playoffs by year two, win a playoff, because I guess they're ahead of schedule by that. They beat Nashville last year. So job done, I guess.
Would be if they win a play-in that they will. If they win that eighth, ninth game, that won't be considered acceptable.
You're
they
a Knicks fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
If James Dolan sent a letter like this saying, like, if we lose, I'm selling, I'm out.
Be stoked.
Yeah.
I'd be stoked.
You'd be rooting against your own
100%.
team.
100%.
But the thing is that...
And I would assume, in a situation in which fans are refusing to show up and cheer for the team they like, that they some of these supporters probably feel the same.
Well, the supporters were upset before the season began.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like, it's gotten worse.
Sending this before El Tráfico, you're guaranteeing that any Galaxy fan who shows up to this game this weekend is going to be rooting for LAFC.
Stop.
There were some quotes in the Striker article from Galaxy supporters that were like, basically, like, when LAFC fans take over our stadium, that will be fitting.
Jeez.
Yikes. And that's the last piece of this whole thing, is like, LAFC puts it in comparison for them. It can't be like, oh, you know, like, things are tough right now. It's like, down the street, exact same league, exact same setup, they are succeeding. Consistently, because they won Supporter Shield, sort of fell apart. They brought in a new coach, almost like if you have decision makers and a process and a structure, you can react to moments or be planning ahead. They sold Brian Rodriguez last year and then brought in Dennis Bouanga and Gareth Bale.
They sold Chicho Arango in the offseason and we're like, yeah, we don't actually need to replace him right now.
Well, so how big do you guys think the Will Koontz hire is then?
It depends on how much power he has. If he has the power to make decisions, it could end up being a very big hire, right?
And how much flexibility is going to have? I mean, you know, to go to some of the planning stuff, like, you know, Chicharito is not guaranteed to be back this year until he hits a goal mark.
Again?
Contract is triggered. Again? No. I'm saying last year. But even that sense, like, okay, well, what's going to happen here? We don't know. We have Jovalich, who's now sort of being buried, but we're not going to play two strikers. Can't play them together. So two of your top assets are sort of non... They don't dovetail necessarily. And then to go Douglas Costa, like,
and that's
disaster.
That's the other part where in the past it's been like, well, the Galaxy will throw money at the problem. They could do that.
Yeah.
They could buy out Douglas Costa.
It's telling that they haven't.
Yeah.
It's telling that they haven't. I think it seems like ownership has noticed.
It's hard to ignore.
Can they win this thing? And how do they do it?
Oh, it's MLS. They'll probably win 3-0. You know, it's this league.
I have a lunch riding on it, so I hope so.
I mean, I would say for a while it felt like the Galaxy still had this, like, almost like psychological thing over that they could sort of lean on that past. We were just talking about it, but to kind of feel like the weight of the shirt that would actually help them in these matches. And it was always kind of like, well, yeah, you guys haven't won anything yet, or yeah. Your supporter shield or whatever it is. No offense to them. But now it's like, now this is different this year, right? Because it's, you can't say they did the double. Like, LAFC went up and won the supporter shield, they got the trophy, buzzing coming into this one. You know, the only thing I would say is, Chicharito coming back, I think that does change things.
It truly is huge.
Yeah. Like, he has been there. They've scored 3 goals all season to start. So just hasn't been able to score goals. He gives them a chance. In the past we've seen it turns into the shootout. That's what El Traficos are. And you need all of your weapons, right? And he's the one that I think also has an emotional lift of like, okay, this is now somebody new we haven't had yet coming back into the team. Can that change the way they come into this? I don't think you could say the Galaxy have ever been the better team. I don't think I can ever say they've been the better team in this matchup since this matchup existed.
2020 or 2021, the Galaxy were fine. Maybe. And LAFC fell off. But yeah, you're right. Well, even they played in MLS back
even
and
then,
LAFC
like,
won.
LAFC was,
no, you're right.
LAFC was playing like good soccer in 21. They were just like cursed in front of goal.
Yeah, you know, you're right. They've literally, there's not been a moment where the Galaxy are better than LAFC.
So when you look at the matchup, it's like pretty even between the two sides as far as who's gotten the better of them head to head. So there is something that you can kind of just like throw everything out the window. And that's exactly the place that the Galaxy want to be right now. It's like throw everything out the window. Nothing matters that's happened yesterday. Although I think in this case, like throwing Vanny's been so upset. And I think about the margins. He's talking about those margins. The margins are small for that team right now. And so that a referee decision does feel like it is bigger than a normal referee decision that might go against you one part of the season and come back against you another one. Okay. And you say, oh, maybe if you're in a better place, you might feel like, oh, well, it'll come back later. The red cards in the last game, as you guys highlighted well, like those are just the things. And this LAFC team feels like it's playing with so much freedom that they can miss a couple chances. Buonga's going to hit, Fella, whoever it is. So this one does feel a little different to me, like to Doyle's earlier point, like it really could go the wrong direction in a pretty bad way. But also, I'm still at the point where it's like, every time these two teams play, and I think Chicharito coming back does change things.
I watched all the goals they scored and all the big chances they had in their little run, 9-game run last year. And I think we sort of forgot, like, with Jovalich's goal per minute stats and some of the moments he came up big in, I think we sort of forgot that truly it was Chicharito's movement and just uncanny finishing ability that fueled so much of that.
Where did you pick them in the preseason?
The Galaxy? Yeah. Knowing me, probably high.
Cool. I don't want us to use the word "we" too liberally.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
I just want to make sure we remember forgot because I told you this team was bad, and I feel pretty vindicated.
You expected them to be this?
I didn't expect them to be this bad, and I would assume over the course of a year they won't be. But
I still like their talent.
But their biggest weakness
they're underperforming in front of goal.
They didn't get better at center back. They lost Julian Araujo.
Jalen Neal, you could argue they did.
I don't know that you could, because you still have Chris Mavinga out there on the field.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Martin Caceres is walking over to VAR booths like he was just found out about the rule. So I don't know that that's true. And I don't know. And the winger position didn't get better.
The winger position.
Tyler Boyd's like a fine signing for what they gave up and what they have. But
here's the
thing.
If I said you can have Cabral back, You can give me any of the wingers. Would you do it?
I have no idea. I would just tell you that I don't care and I would leave.
Okay. What's your prediction? Let's just quick. I don't want any sort of analysis here. I just want to know who you think is going to win. Doyle?
LAFC.
Dave?
Galaxy.
Ooh.
LAFC.
LAFC for me. That's a good position to be in.
I already did it with the other Kalen, so I can't step back from it.
That's a good position to be in. All right, where in the world is Kalen Carr? By the way, El Trafico on Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, half-hour pregame show, MLS season pass. You can also watch the game on Fox. Where are you going, Kalen? Where will you be?
New England. No, I'm not going to New England. I'm going to Minnesota.
I vacation in Foxborough.
Ah, lovely town.
Holiday, you might say.
Wonderful place. No, I am going to Minneapolis. And going to see them play against Orlando. So
sell me on other than you're my friend and I like to listen.
Just support me, man. Do I need a reason? Just support me. No, I mean, Minnesota have overperformed in a lot of ways. Expectations, losing Reynoso. We talked about the impact of one player. So much is built through, basically the entire system was built through him. And all of the pieces that were brought in were designed to complement him. And he's been gone, and they've done a really good job in his absence to be able to, I think Will Trapp mentioned to me, just like it's in a way, it's kind of brought the team closer together.
Getting style tips from Will Trapp?
Will Trapp has some nice
hoodies. I would like to get style tips from Will Trapp.
Very nice.
Is he like the same type of style that you wear?
I mean, I might be now. I didn't even realize he was. I have a hoodie on today, mm-hmm. and he was rocking a really nice hoodie when I saw him at training. So maybe he's just kind of
really nice hoodies.
I'm it's in my head.
Write
yeah.
that down. That's a good
but yeah, he. I think it'll be interesting to see what they did, because I think in a way, going and playing that game in St. Louis and having that sort of emotional event, then kind of a letdown against Chicago. Full credit to Chicago, look like a different team with Kai Kamara up front. They look just that have that cutting edge now. But I think this will be more of, it'll be interesting to see what they do, because I think Adrian likes that 4-2-3-1, but I think he may go back to that 4-4-2. So if Mender Garcia comes back into it, or Song Bin Jong, who's new, came in, played the last 30, see if he comes in. And then Orlando's had a bye week. So they spent a lot of time, I think, and effort on Champions League early in the year, which was kind of tough. Now, I think this bye week probably came at a good time for them to be able to kind of regroup, figure out how these pieces fit together, because it seems like things aren't quite clicking. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good one.
All right, match day, games to watch. Doyle, get us started.
I think the best game of the weekend is Columbus versus New England. In terms of entertainment value, in terms of quality, these are two of the five, maybe, best teams in the league. I think we all probably agree that Columbus are among the very best teams to watch. Their patience on the ball, the way they want to pull teams apart, spread the field, get everybody involved going forward, the way that Wilfred Nancy, really encourages his center backs to get on the ball and drive forward and try to break lines off the dribble. It's so much fun to watch. The Revs have been a ton of fun this year as well. They had a couple of games at the start of the season where they were not a lot of fun, but like over the past 3 weeks or so, like they've been balling. This past weekend against Montreal, it was, you know, men versus boys. But with one of the interesting things has been Bruce Arena sort of mixing and matching personnel and formations. 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3-ish, 4-2-3-1 this past week. But we've also seen sort of a flat 4-4-2. We've seen a diamond. If Carlos Heel's out there, no matter what the formation, it's going to work. So, yeah, this is a big one. This is a really good one. I'm looking forward to it. I just wish our Foxborough correspondent, Kalen Carr, was on.
I should, yeah. Only in New England. This is on the road, right?
Yeah, you don't.
No,
yeah,
that's true. Yeah, but you won't go to Ohio.
If you want to go to Foxborough and watch,
Bar Louie
might throw it up on a TV, but I don't know if they'll turn on the audio.
Yeah.
You might have to.
One thing to mention, we were talking about it before, but
Kalen's a veteran in that space. Yeah.
Latif Blessing has been great for them.
Yeah.
He was missing before. I think he took a knock in training, came back this last game. There was a really funny play too, or fun play, where he got matched up with Wanyama on the end line, and Wanyama's kind of like on his back pressuring him and ends up kind of going over him. And it looked like the ball was out of bounds. And I'm pretty sure Latif was on his, like on his knees and basically dribbled through his legs. It was like a body nutmeg. And then they didn't end
it's
up scoring.
Kind of like leapfrog a little bit, you know?
It was amazing. I had to like, I was on the commentary and I had to be like, that's a fun matchup here. I think this just happened. I'm not sure if my eyes deceived me or not. But yeah, he's been a great signing for them. Incredible pickup.
I just had Doyle sort of talked about the styles, but for Columbus, they've been really fun to watch. They've been really good, but they beat DC twice. They crushed RSL at home and they blew the doors off Atlanta in the international break. So it's just going to be nice to sort of get a gauge.
That's
of
a really good point.
How real are they? And that's I think really this is point. One of those games that you yep. look forward to.
Congratulations as well. Go to Aiden Morris for signing a new long-term deal with the Columbus Crew.
That means
ensures that
sold.
We will see you as you hit the dusty yeah. trail very, very soon.
I look forward to buying a subscription to a fourth streaming platform to watch him in whatever league he ends up in.
Montreal, DC, Dave, we've gifted this to you as your game to watch since you will be there to watch it.
You think they'll still let me come watch?
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm just going to be at the game, so I'm stoked. I haven't been to a game all year, I think, in person,
oh,
except
wow,
for the
either.
29 to 40 GA Cup matches that I watched last week. So I'm excited to go to a game. I was there for the playoffs last year, and Stutz Buddha was jumping. And I get to see Lewis O'Brien in person, so it's like kind of the best of all worlds. I'm just here to inspire the lads.
About that.
You're a big Lewis O'Brien guy, huh?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Yeah, that's huge. Kind of what
I've always been a Forest.
I booked the trip man. After Lewis O'Brien signed, just to make sure.
Just to lock it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see any hope for DC?
Not really. I can. So the midfield, I kind of can get. Mm-hmm. Like I think
Knaus, Klik, O'Brien,
and I think Klik sort of more as like a winger, not a winger, but like he has the freedom to go wide and whip balls in for Benteke, and because O'Brien will cover ground and Knaus will cover ground. I don't think they have the defensive quality to play any sort of system in which they open up
mm-hmm.
because I don't think anyone can really defend 1v1. And I don't know what the proof is that Rooney is someone who gets you more than what the roster is built as, right? From last year to this year.
I think it's basically his roster for the most part.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm gonna take Portland, Seattle, a little Cascadia here. Big one. Eric Williamson, again, just a blow on the injury front for Eric, but also the Timbers.
Good luck, Eric. We all love you.
He did the left ACL before. Now this is the right ACL, so he is out for the season. Finn asks, simple question with Eric Williamson's season-ending injury, is the Timbers' 2023 season finished? And if you think no, what is their path to relevancy? Probably think yes.
I think it's finished, yeah.
And I think that the path to relevancy is probably, there was some redundancy, it felt like, between Williamson and Evander. So
yeah.
the path to relevancy is that Evander, they get healthy, so they get Jimmy
Evander
back.
In the eight.
Yeah.
And then they get Sebastian Blanco healthy.
Yes.
And he plays as the 10. And like you put him in a situation where he doesn't have to defend at all and just has to be like a final third genius, which he's always been.
Felipe Mora is back, and or maybe Frank Bolli is.
Oh, sorry, we're just naming all guys who are hurt.
Yeah, that's the path, right? Like the path goes through the training room, right?
It's
like
but right even that might not be enough because this team's not good defensively.
Yeah, I think Anders made.
Anders is reminding me they're only 2 points back.
Well, nine teams and right make the playoffs. That's their path. The quote unquote.
There you go. That's the more
to stay in. And I assume at some point they'll be playing five in the back probably most of this year at this point, just because all those other pieces are hurt. And that's where Gio's been most successful with the team. But there are not pieces in that where you're like, I guess Mascara could look pretty special in that scenario as a wing back. If you're signing in to watch wing backs, you're already pretty deep down the list.
You're an extra time listener.
Welcome. We appreciate you. Seattle, obviously, a team to watch for all you neutrals out there. You could hate watch them. You could be a Seattle fan, whatever it is, but they're one of the best teams in the league.
Well, similar to Galaxy, though, like this has been a spark for Portland in the past. Gio has really good success against Seattle, and I do think for a team where you're like dragging injuries, you feel to have that to rally around of like, this is Cascadia Cup, this game you get up for. If you win that, those are sort of the things that you can use to push yourself forward. So this is probably actually an ideal time for this to come for the Timbers, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
St. Louis City in FC Cincinnati, Kalen, has been your choice. We don't know about Lucho. He was in that sling after the match last weekend. Pat Noonan's
got injured drawing a PK.
Then took the PK.
Played five more minutes.
Isn't that like, that's like Kobe when he did his Achilles and took the free throws.
You're not taking these points.
It's also tough to grab. That's a lot of people want that penalty. So you got to get up quick. to get that one, you know, grab the ball.
Yeah, the wing. Hey, this wing is okay. Okay,
yeah, guys? Yeah.
We're all good here. We're all good. Don't worry about it.
No, he'll be a big miss because he's the one that connects the dots between those two strikers, which we haven't really quite seen as much as we have in the past, and then also to help release Barrial on the wings and kind of find the, especially when you beat that St. Louis press, if you found Lucho, that would be the path, right? As you find him in space, wherever he finds it, in between those lines, once you break that first line of pressure, and then he kind of creates from there. So he'll be a big miss. They'll have to take their chance as well. I think, you know, set pieces will be big for them. And the big difference for me with Cincinnati this year and last year is the defense. They've just been so much better defensively. Saw Celentano and Miazga just got call-ups, right? I think Brandon Vasquez as well. But that back line, Miazga's been very good. I think Mascara has been a really good signing. Mm-hmm. Pat talked about trying to get a little bit younger, a little more mobile in the back line. He's added that, I think, a lot. Can carry the ball forward as well at times. I looked it up. They scored at this point, I think, through this, what is this, match day seven?
We're through eight. Seven match days, yes. Okay. We're approaching
eight. Through seven match days last year, they'd given up 14 goals. They've only given up four this year.
They've given up two big chances all season.
Remember, they were a bonus game team at the start of last year. Yeah.
But they scored 20 goals probably in that same time span.
No, they didn't start. They didn't start racking them up until like
didn't they
mid-April.
Drop? Didn't they have like a 4-4 week three against Montreal or something?
Brenner scored like all of his goals in the back, like June on.
Yeah, it was Vasquez the first half of the year, and then it switched to Brenner as it went along.
But yeah, their back line is way different than it was before. So I think that's probably a path forward for them this week.
Is there a time where we start to worry about Brenner and Vasquez?
No.
No,
I mean we're not there yet. There will be a time, or there would be a time if we're 15 games in.
There is not a day in which Doyle could ever worry. Never.
Might be some worry for Atlanta. They are going to Toronto this weekend. Brad Guzan is out 10 to 12 weeks with a torn MCL.
Well, that's not the worry. The Toronto thing, the injuries are.
Right. Correct. Yeah, it's the injuries. Quentin Westberg and Clement Diop are the backups, and they will have to.
Our guy Sam Jones said it's likely Westberg who. Starting this one.
Comfortable in Toronto?
Yeah, very comfortable.
Yeah, fair.
And then Thiago Amada's day-to-day.
Didn't look at last year.
No, did not.
Thiago Amada's day-to-day after taking a knock. That one seems less important. How important is the Brad Guzan injury, Dave?
It was massive last year, right? And
coming off the Achilles.
I think obviously having Miles Robinson changes things for them. I think having a bit more structure to the team changes things. But I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't go in the timeline that they say. That they add if they add a goalkeeper going forward. And I think when you guys just talked about Cincinnati, I think of Alec Kahn first. If you're going in league,
yeah.
I think he'd be the one you'd go to get because in this you have to have a conversation, I think, at some point now in back to back years of like, well, how much more is Guzan gonna play? So it may make sense to invest in that position.
Sucks.
Yeah.
This injury sucks.
It's not the way you want it to go down for a club legend like that, obviously one of the greats in US history. So but I wouldn't be shocked if that's what they do because, as Doyle said, we saw the holes in Westberg's game last year, and Clement Diop has been fine backup, but he has struggled as a starter with consistency. So I wouldn't be shocked if that's something that they have to go and change because there's expectations this year. It's not just like, whatever, we'll figure it out as it goes down the line. The attack and a lot of the pieces are too good to not fill in that position.
Best goes out to Brad Guzan. On your recovery, 10 to 12 weeks, hopefully back for the stretch run for Atlanta United, such a big part of their club. All right, we will end with the USMNT April roster against Mexico. Any names that just jump out to you?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Benjamin is one name.
Josh Widener is the first one.
Yeah. And they just announced he's going to Benfica at the end of the year.
I saw him for the first time, I think, 2 years ago, starting a USL game in person, and he's the real deal. He's two-footed. He can pass out of the back. He can defend for a kid his age against pros. I don't know what a path for a guy like that looks like at Benfica. He's probably not first team ready. Do you then get dropped into an academy? Is it reserves? Is it out on loan? So there's a lot of question marks there, and that's not like a given for young Americans in the past, right? Even what we see at Venezia, which was like built around young guys, took Tessman time to get on the field, then they dropped down a division. So I don't know what it'll look like for him, but when you talk about the center back position, he is the best prospect I have seen come through for Americans in a really long time. And if you were to ask who would be next that could be special there, where I think we'll always have Walker, Zimmerman, Aaron Long's like late bloomers at that position, because you have to develop physically a lot of times to be able to hang there. And I don't think a lot of MLS teams will play young players at that position. I wouldn't be shocked if Josh Widener is like the next young player that gets a shot with the U.S. consistently.
Any other names?
Drake Callender stands out to me. A guy I think started off the season very well.
Go Bears.
There may be a Bear connection, you know, Berkeley.
Bears?
Big 12? Is that Big 12 action?
Oh, boy. Maybe soon.
I missed alumni game last weekend, by the way.
Oh, no.
But yeah, no, I think he, speaking of comparisons, I think Phil Neville compared him to Tim Howard and said, and compared him favorably. I think he said he had, I don't want to misquote him, but
yeah,
he compared him to Tim Howard.
He did say some things that were very complimentary that I was like, oh.
Drake Callender has been really good for them. He's been really good for a long time.
Yeah.
He was in the top three for me last year, goalkeeper of the year, I believe.
And he's gotten a lot.
Well, he had to be. He was one of only three candidates.
That's not true. You vote before the candidates come out, Dave.
Oh, got
but
it.
It's kind of a case of a guy who's gotten a, like, when you see how many, he's just gotten a bunch of games now, and he's grown a ton. And so that projects well for me when I see a guy who steps in and you see new things for coming from him as he gets more experience. So getting an opportunity with the national team, something I was hoping to see for him. So I hope he actually gets some minutes.
From a sicko perspective, I'll mention Cade Cowell and Caleb Wiley being with the full national team, even though we're in the run up to the U-20 World Cup and both those kids are eligible. Okay, I'm noting that. I'm also noting that Wiley is there. It looks like he's the only left back on the roster, which is interesting.
You play Serginho there.
You could. I don't love that idea, but like you could. But like
Kellen Acosta at left back.
Yeah, right. The only left-footed left back on the roster. Fine. You know, I wouldn't have hated to see DeJuan Jones. I think if John Tolkien was healthy, he would probably be there as well. But just from a perspective, look, I really like the U-20 World Cup. I've always enjoyed that particular tournament. I like it more than the Olympics. It's obviously much better than the 17s. So I'm hoping that both these guys end up with the U.S. national team at the U-20 World
Cup. No respect for Andrew Brody? Come on, man.
Andrew Brody's a right. He's a right back now. No. It's a different Andrew. Andrew Gutman. Yeah. Andrew Gutman's really good.
I'm surprised no Jones.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw Matt Miazga out there. Seemed like he was out of the picture. And now I don't know if he's fully back, but what he's been doing in MLS has obviously earned his way back in. So that's interesting to see.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's hard to get amped about any of this until we have a GM and we have a coach and we have a direction for the national team. It all feels so freaking meaningless. I'm sorry. Like I don't know if I should feel that way. Maybe I'm reading too much or too little into it. I don't even know. But like everything about the national team setup could change in the next 3 months.
It doesn't feel like there's some element of like urgency or like whatever happens this game is like going to be the end all be all.
Well,
which I think would have been the case, by the way, even if there was those things that you're talking about.
Can I just give you this Matt Miazga quote from today when he got announced? Said, quote, like I told you guys last time, I was screwed over multiple times in the past.
This is
referencing an interview with local media in October ahead of his exclusion from the World Cup. Yeah, I think it is what it is. I mean, I've always felt like I should be a part of that group throughout my career, especially the last 2 years. Now that I'm back in the capacity of the state that we're in, obviously with an interim manager, I'm grateful to be able to showcase again and try to stamp my ground again, if that makes sense.
That didn't make sense.
To be clear, that wasn't me saying if that makes sense. That was Matt.
I don't think this particular show should be super nitpicky on, you know, idioms and things of that nature. That's just my opinion.
I agree.
I was told to stretch out our goodbye here, Dave. This is an opportunity for you. Maybe Anders.
Anders is going to feed me your guys' Galaxy preseason predictions.
Oh, okay. That's good.
We're going to start in reverse order.
Oh, boy.
For the four
Kalen
of us.
Kalen didn't do predictions, so Kalen's safe for now.
That's a smart man right there. That's a smart, smart man.
I had them seventh in the West.
So hold on. Let me guess mine. I'm going to guess
Andrew
I had them
Weeby
fourth.
Fifth in the West.
Oh, okay. I guess
I think I had him second.
Fourth in the West.
Okay. All right.
Hey, they can still get there.
And I
trust Chris Klein to steer that ship.
Just to put a bow on this, Tom Bogert first in the Western Conference.
Wow.
Oh.
First.
That's your co-manager right
we,
there.
We work on strikers together. That's it.
This is a very strict agreement.
There's nothing else.
Did you guys draft Preston Judd in your Golden Boot team? No. So much confidence.
We're in first
You could file a discovery claim on Preston.
We've got a couple. We'll pick up some. We got some.
Did I bring up my theory that like we should each get a discovery claim on one MLS player who fits our own personal brand?
Yeah, but then when you did that, it was in the group text, and you decided what our brands were and assigned us players instead of letting us.
Who did I assign you?
Kevin Cabral.
Yeah.
Who did I?
Which get? I'm willing to take
you got
once
the
he's
entirety
a starter.
Entirety of Montreal's
oh, nice.
Striker core.
Unfortunately, Mason Toy is out 6 to 8 weeks. Just
that's
announced.
Tough. I'm
just
sorry, announced. Mason.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, that's
but
for us.
Ariel Lassiter, I just got added.
This is on the come up.
I'm just getting. It's all about numbers. It's yeah. quantity yeah, it's over quality.
It yeah, really yeah. is right now.
Romel Kyoto really is hurt as well, so tough times.
Shinosi O4, step right up.
There you go. Match day 8 coming up this weekend. MLS season pass, of course, a stacked slate on Saturday. You can watch MLS 360 or go into whatever game you'd like to watch on season pass, and then Sunday a standalone game. El Tráfico Galaxy hosting LAFC. On Fox and on MLS.
I've been thinking
pass,
about my posture the whole time. Yeah,
did I get Kai Kamara? I hope somebody drafted me Kai.
Yeah, that's okay. You ended up with
that
Kai.
Your...
Okay. He got Cabral. He got all of Montreal, and I got Simon Betcher.
How many teams do you think would give?
I just quietly, and I got Simon Betcher. Just
how many hopefully. Teams do you think would give up 400K right now for Kai Kamara? They could have 3 weeks ago, but like he is scoring goals.
Yeah, it's working out for him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The LA Galaxy could use a goal scorer. You want to end on that?
Sure. Sure, they could. All right, we are out of here. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you.